This is the Soulful BR Podcast with Janet Murray, episode 203.
Welcome to the Soulful PR Podcast. Tune in every week for practical tips, strategies, and case studies that will help you get media coverage for your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello, and welcome to the show. In this episode, I've got a great interview for you with Amy Woods. And we're talking about how to repurpose your content so you can attract more traffic to your website and convert that traffic into leads and sales. But before we get to the main part of the show, just a reminder about my podcast guide. So I've put together a podcast guide for the first 200 episodes of the show. There's just so much useful content in there. I thought it would be helpful for you if I categorized it into different themes. So I'll just give you an idea of some of the themes. So there's audience building, branding, email marketing, launch strategies, podcasting, getting press coverage. So that should give you an idea of some of the themes that it covers. The show really focuses around promoting your business in every way possible. So we look mainly at social media, marketing, PR, but there's probably a podcast episode for every single challenge that you come across in your business. And the idea of the podcast guide is to make it easy for you to find that particular episode. So if you'd like to get your hands on a copy, then I'll put a link to the podcast guide in the show notes. We've also created a special page for you to go to, so you can pick up the guide at janetmurray.co.uk/episode203. So that's janetmurray.co.uk/episode203. And now, on with the main part of the show. So joining me on the show today is Amy Woods. So Amy is the founder of Content 10X. Now the clue is probably in the name of her business, but Amy helps small business owners to repurpose their content so that they're not constantly reinventing the wheel. Now I first met Amy at the Content Marketing Academy. So that's a content marketing event up in Edinburgh every June. And I just got chatting to her about this and thought I really needed to get her onto the show to give us some tips on how we can make our content go further. So welcome to the show, Amy.
Hi, Janet. Welcome. Thank you very, very much for having me.
So might you be able to start by telling us a little bit about what does content actually mean?
Yeah, sure. So I guess basically what we're talking about with content is anything that you produce that you are sharing your ideas and concepts with your audience. So it can be a blog post, a podcast, live video, video, really just anything that you put out there.
Okay. And so would that also include your social media updates as well?
Yeah, anything and everything on social media. You know, social media is a content platform that you don't necessarily own, but of course it's still content. So whether it's on your own website or your own podcast or social media, on Medium, LinkedIn, it's just you conveying your thoughts, ideas, concepts to the wide world.
Because I think we often tend to think of content as it has to be like a kind of formal blog post, or it has to be a podcast episode or an infographic. But I know I've certainly come to think of everything that I create as content. So it could even be a Facebook status update or a LinkedIn update or a tweet or something like that. It's all content and it can all be kind of reused and repurposed.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, some people, when they get started with businesses, they don't necessarily have a website. They maybe have a Facebook page and they're putting out amazing content out on a Facebook page. And that is absolutely, that is a content. You can have a content strategy with that. So yeah, it's across any platform, really.
Okay. So you say on your website that you are obsessed with content repurposing. Can you talk a little bit about how you got so excited about the topic?
Yeah, sure. So I guess like just to kind of backtrack a little bit. So I left a corporate career as a management consultant and started a online business, and I was helping fitness professionals with taking their businesses online, and I created some products and did a lot of consultation, and I was creating content, lots and lots of content, and I started to embrace content repurposing. I actually think it was I'd listened to this podcast episode on Smart Passive Income with Pat Flynn, and he was interviewing Shailene Johnson, and she talked about how she was repurposing her content. And at the time, I was kind of pulling my hair out a little bit of content because I was doing regular videos and regular blog posts, but I didn't have a massive strategy. And I was getting stressed out about not being on Twitter and not being on Instagram. And, you know, when you feel like you want to be everywhere and you're not doing enough. Mm-hmm. I heard Shailene talking about what she did. And she did, she had a huge team behind her. She was talking about, then I send this to my videographer, I send this to my writer, my graphics people. But behind the fact that she didn't have a team, I listened to that and I thought, wow, I can do this. So I started to do some research into how I could repurpose my content. And I just really, really started to enjoy it. I just got a system in place and I was no longer stressed. I felt like I had a system and I was repurposing my content, getting the most value out of everything that I created. And that's when the idea came up of the business Content 10X, because I realized when I spoke to other people about repurposing content and what I was doing, the general gist was that people thought it was a great idea. There's no doubt about that. I never really hear anyone saying it's not a good idea, but most people said that they didn't do it enough. It's just something that they do enough of. And then, there was a problem. I felt like there was a business opportunity in trying to solve that problem for people. So actually, funnily enough, I took this idea down to a mastermind with Chris Ducker in early this year in London. There's a really good bunch of people who've been on your podcast. Mike Morrison was there, Roger Edwards was there. And I came along with my idea, presented it to everyone and said, this is what I'm thinking. I think there's a problem here. And even the likes of Chris and Mike, everybody said, yeah, that's a good idea. People do need help with this. They know they need to do it for sure. So then I got more and more obsessed with this
And what I love about that is I think there's a lesson in there about businesses, isn't it? And business, and it is about solving people's problems. It's about addressing people's pain points, and business really just is that, isn't it? Solving people's problems. Like, I know I need to repurpose my content. I know I need to make it go further, but I don't have the time, or I don't have the ideas, or I'm not sure how to do it. And basically you saw that problem, you saw that pain point and decided to do something about it. I'd be interested to know, actually, when you said you started repurposing your own content, could you give us some examples of the kind of things that you did with your own content that started you to think that actually you could do this for other people?
Yeah. So basically what I was doing when I first got started was every single week I was doing a Facebook Live video. And I decided Facebook Live was a good source content because you just go live, you can't do retakes. So I wasn't going to spend hours in doing take after take after take. So I just braved up and did a Facebook Live. And it would be on a really specific topic, like, you know, 5 reasons why you should have a podcast, let's say, something like that. So I would do the Facebook Live video, and then I would do some editing of that video, get captions on it, and then put that back onto Facebook and put it onto YouTube. I would also turn it into a blog post and then have that blog post that would go on my website. I would turn it into maybe about 5 or 6 different visuals in slightly different formats for Facebook, Instagram and Twitter, taking key quotes from that and key points that were made. And I would do that as well. When I first got started, that was it, the key changes, really. Facebook Live to YouTube to blog post to the social media platforms. And if it lent itself well, I guess it was more for kind of the showcase content, I would turn it into an infographic as well. So that was, that was the initial. Wow.
Okay. So this is something actually that I've been pondering myself recently. And maybe you can help me unravel this a little bit, and it will be useful for other people to hear this. So we were just discussing before we got onto this call that today, as we're recording this, I've just published my 200th podcast episode. Now, I know that although I'm great at creating content, I'm not always great at repurposing. I'm quite good at repurposing social media content, but I know that in 200 episodes, I haven't done enough to repurpose this podcast content. But something I have started to do recently, so it's actually more part of my marketing strategy. So what I've started doing, I publish on a Tuesday and a Friday. So on a Tuesday, I usually have a solo episode where I'm, a kind of how-to thing. So how to get more engagement on Instagram, how to get more engagement on your Facebook page, or how to pitch journalists, something like that. And then on a Friday, I have my interview session. So what I've been really trying to do is to create more of a kind of common thread between my content and kind of theme it. So I've been doing a Facebook Live on a Tuesday on the theme of my solo episode. And the idea being that obviously that will help drive more people over to listen to the podcast and share the podcast and whatever. And also it's an opportunity for me to talk to my audience and engage and answer questions and talk about events I've got coming up and products and services. So it's kind of a great opportunity. What I've also been trying to do is on Friday, when I have my interview podcast, is getting the guest to come and do a Facebook Live, and or I have a Twitter chat on a Sunday evening. So then getting the guest to come and lead my Twitter chat on a Sunday evening, which, you know, sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't, but basically trying to kind of get more mileage out of that content and kind of use it as a way to market. However, I know that this is leaving me with like loads of kind of content that I'm not making the most of. So basically, I'm creating a Facebook Live every single Tuesday and sometimes also on a Friday that I could be doing something with. I've also got the Twitter chat material as well. I mean, I started off making story fires from them, but it was funny. It was taking me quite a long time to do that. I also blog as well, but my podcast is my kind of key thing. And, you know, as you were talking that, I was thinking, oh God, you know, I have been thinking about this recently. I've been thinking I need to get these lives up on YouTube. I should be, you know, even if nothing else, just kind of like putting a cover on them, getting them on YouTube and making the most of them. But I know I could be slicing out sections of it. I know I could be taking infographics. I could be making them into smaller portions or whatever. But it just feels like there's a lot there. And for me to go and create a blog post, for example, based on a Facebook Live that I've done on a podcast, it feels like that's all great. And I really understand that people do need to engage in different mediums. And some people prefer the written word and all of this kind of stuff. But it feels to me like, wow, there's a lot of content there and I could end up getting really overwhelmed. And I have help, you know, I have a team that help me with various things. So I'm just going to throw that at you and say, what would you, as a, you know, a content repurposing expert, how would you tackle that conundrum?
Well, I think what you should do is you should start with, think of what would be the core piece of content. So what would be, let's say that you're going to start with a blog post. Now, let's start with a podcast episode. So let's start with that. So I like to think of it as firstly thinking about the change of format. So I think that you should reformat into written for sure when you have podcasts, because that, I just think it's really important for that Google love, that SEO love, to get your podcast written out into a blog post. I know you do show notes. Mm-hmm. Let's say we're talking about the solo episodes that you've done one on, like 5 ways to get more engagement on Instagram, let's say. So I think that firstly, to turn that into a blog post, so get that written up and, you know, bit of editor, don't need to speak to you about like writing, but, you know, turn it into a blog post. And then I think, without even thinking about changing the format further, there's things that you can do to get that written post in more places than just on your site. So thinking about putting it on LinkedIn, thinking about putting it on Medium, think about, you know, if it's relevant HuffPost, and then any potential other kind of guest post sites that you could still put that one piece of written content onto. So firstly, have that checklist of turn it into a blog post, and then where else can it go? Where can I publish this? Maybe have a Trello board set up and have a like a process for that. Then I think you want to think about the visuals. You already mentioned that you do this. So, you know, for anybody getting started and you're thinking, how would I create visuals? Then I really recommend Canva. That is my absolute favourite. I recommend using the animated feature on Canva at the moment. So you can create like little GIFs as well. So you can make them pop on the screen if you're changing, you know, creating in like Instagram in particular, where things like that look great. So how do you decide what visuals? I think when you've written the blog post, you've got that written content. So then you can extract from that blog post key sentences, key quotes. And that's when you can take those key sentences over to Canva and create visuals that you can resize as well. So making sure that if you're creating something for Facebook, that it's going to look good on Facebook, it's going to be in the right dimensions, Twitter. You know, Canva does all of that for you. You don't have to know what the dimensions are. It's all programmed in there. So that's why I love Canva so much. I could be the biggest advocate. And then with it, something that I recommend with getting a podcast to video, so the other format, what we do with our clients is we just use something like, say you have a Mac, iMovie, or on Windows Movie Maker, bring the audio over there, create some visuals on Canva again, or PicMonkey, whatever you want to use, but create some visuals and recreate these short little, like I call it a trailer. So I can turn in the 25, 30, 40 minute podcast episode, say a 3 minute trailer. So just extract, you know, some really key sections, some really powerful, you know, tips that I'll give and things like that. Maybe mishmash together 3-4 little sections with the intro and the outro. and create a trailer. And that's quite easy. It doesn't take too much time to do that. And then you can get some captions put onto that. And I really recommend going onto rev.com, get some captions, and then you can get that onto YouTube, Facebook. So it's all still sticking to the same, initial concept that was discussed on the blog post. Now, we started with podcast, actually, and we started with podcast. Then I recommend that you've got now, like, the video content, you've got some really cool visuals. So on the blog post itself, you can now jazz that up a little bit. So you can go in and put these visuals that you've created into the blog post. So for people who are more kind of skim readers, they'll be able to skim down and they'll see the colourful visuals as well as reading the content in the blog that you've created. So just putting that content back in, put the link to the YouTube video as well back into the blog post. So what I like to say that you should create a multimedia experience for people. So you would then have a single blog post that would have the podcast episode, the YouTube trailer, a selection of videos, and the written word in just one kind of multimedia experience for people. So in that one place, they can take from it what they need. And, I think in a sense, you can almost stop there. But then if you want to go further, when you have that written blog post, you can storyboard that out. So really just cut out, excess verbiage, like cut out bits and create a storyboard that you can then turn into an infographic or a slideshare presentation as well. So that's another, really recommend that. So if you think if your podcast was, say, 5 ways to stand out on LinkedIn and you storyboarded out from that blog post the key points that could stand alone on a slide, created a slideshare presentation. Again, that's just such a great way of repurposing to blog.
Okay. Well, I have to say, I'm feeling slightly panicky at the sound of all of this, because it sounds like a lot of time and it sounds like a lot of work. It sounds like I'd have to, like, I've got a podcast, Lucy, who does my podcast show notes, it's something that maybe I could ask her to do. And I'm finding myself thinking as you're talking, and I'm guessing that if you're listening, you might be thinking this as well. You might be thinking, okay, so what's the return on investment for me for, first of all, how much time do you reckon you would need to devote to, if you were going to really kind of 10x or every single piece of content that you did, how much time do you reckon you'd need to set aside? And maybe how much money if you're going to outsource it?
Yeah, I think that maybe the best thing to do is start with in small steps. So just start to choose one of these. So just choose one format that you would like to change your podcast into or your blog post into, and just do that. But the key thing is consistency. So just get used to doing that every cycle. Mm-hmm. And that is a process. And then when you get used to that, if you have the time, then add the visuals, let's say. And so I think starting one at a time, because the key thing is consistency. You don't want to say, I used to do that, but, I didn't do it anymore, became too much. You just want to add an additional step onto.
Okay, that sounds manageable.
And then in terms of budget, I think the key reasons why people don't repurpose the content is time, isn't it? So time is one thing. The second thing is skill set. So, it's easy to hear this, but you might think, I just do not have the skill set to do the video. I don't have the skill set for the visuals. So that's one thing. Then budget. So if there is that skill set issue or time issue, of course, the next thing is to hire the skills in, and whether or not you have the budget to do that. But I'd really recommend, the sites like Upwork.com and sites like Fiverr.com, you can go to these sites and have a fairly low budget to present some, sentences or key quotes from your blog post or your podcast and ask somebody to create some of these visuals for you. So I really do think for probably like kind of $10 to $20, you can probably get somebody to create 5 or so visuals for you on those kind of sites. Same with the video skills as well. I mean, I think Fiverr gets a little bit of a bad rep sometimes when people do say that it is hard to find people, but, some people may let you down, some people.
I've generally had quite good experiences. Yeah. And I got my voiceover for the beginning of this podcast, I got from Fiverr, and people are rated, aren't they? So, you know, yeah. If somebody's, I just look for people that have got great ratings, and I'd rather pay a little bit more to have somebody who's got great ratings and a little bit of a longer wait than somebody who's kind of untested. Yeah. So yeah, I've had quite good experience with Fiverr.
I have. I agree. I just filter out so that I only look at the top rated people. And like you said, you're not going to pay. Well, from my experiences, I don't pay a $5.
No.
You do pay more than $5. But it's a good place to start. So instead of thinking that I need to hire a VA, because maybe, you know, take small steps, see how this goes. They're great places to just get started. Try and find someone who can help bridge the time and skills gap.
And I love your advice there about just doing it a step at a time. Because as you were talking, my stomach was actually turning over because I don't like thinking that I'm missing an opportunity. And I was like, oh my God, all these things I could be doing. But I was thinking, but if I was to do that, that would be like an extra half a day or something like that for each piece of content. But I like the idea that you just add one step on. Okay, well, I'm just going to repurpose this Facebook Live video or whatever, put it on YouTube, that you just do one thing at a time. And then when you've got that under your belt, then you add something else in and something else in. That really sort of makes sense to me.
Yeah, and also I think that, you know, it depends what you want to repurpose as well. So, you know, there's the, do you repurpose your new content or do you repurpose your old content? So go back into the archives and find things that you can bring back to life again that are still relevant.
Yeah, that was a question I was going to ask you actually, because, you know, immediately me being me, I'm panicking and thinking, oh my God, like all these 200 episodes I've missed, I could have been doing this. However, not every episode or not every blog post that I've created has got massive engagement. But I do know, particularly with my blog, actually, that I've probably got 5 or 10 pieces of content. I just go and look in Google Analytics in the back of my website and I look at what comes up top in Google searches. And I know that I've got 5 or 10 pieces of content that are really valuable. And that actually, if I was to spend a little bit of time on those, then I could probably get quite a good return on investment.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's exactly what you need to do. Look at your analytics. So your website analytics, your social media analytics on what topics have got the most, you know, buzz and engagement and feedback that you get, and bring them to life. You may have to review them slightly, make sure that there's, you know, you may need to tweak them a little bit. But I definitely think that it's really important to go back, because you've spent so much time and effort creating such great quality content. It shouldn't wither away in the content archives.
And also, am I right in saying that kind of Google likes it if you do this kind of thing? And also, if you take, like, I don't know, you were to take 5 of your best blog posts or podcasts on a particular topic and turn that into a new piece of content, then actually Google likes that when you're creating new content out of existing content.
Yeah. That's what I understand that to be the case. Yeah. And a big benefit of repurposing your content is the search engine optimization boost that you can get. So the more places that you repurpose your content, say that you're putting visuals that you have created on different social media sites, the more links that you put out there that go back to your website, the bigger boost for the search engines that you will get to that original piece of content. And of course, the more content that you put out there, say on social media, or if it's on LinkedIn, etc., the more shares, so the more people will share your link. And all of these links out there in the World Wide Web on that piece of content just gives you that SEO boost as well. So it's all great for search engine optimization.
And what do you think is the return on investment of doing this? So I think I'm generally pretty good at getting my content out there. But, you know, as I'm hearing you talk, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so inadequate. Here's all the other things that I could be doing, you know, Huffington Post, Medium, all different places I could be posting it. And also YouTube, actually. I mean, I don't even put my podcast episodes up on YouTube at the moment. I know that loads of other podcasters have told me off and said that I just should be doing that anyway. But what do you think is the return on investment for you and your business?
Well, my most recent client who we've been working with said that as we've been repurposing her podcast episode, she's seen a 60% increase in listeners to her podcast only in the last couple of months. Yeah, so, and that is from repurposing her podcast into blog posts, social media visuals. Something that we didn't mention actually is that also just into emails that go to your email subscribers as well. So taking that written content and making sure that your subscribers know about it. But she's been looking at it from that side, having those stats of podcast downloads and seeing, you know, the listeners. But it can be quite hard, I guess, to pinpoint exactly which one of them. So if it's traffic back to your website, of course, you can look at your analytics, can't you? And you can see are people coming from Facebook, or are they coming from YouTube or Google? So I guess you can look at your analytics and make sure that it is worth it. If you're going to be putting things on YouTube all the time and you don't see many links coming back from YouTube, and it's a time, isn't it? So it's something maybe you would call it and say, but it's just not making any difference. But it's just something to measure through your analytics. But I do think that it is amazing how you don't always realise the power of reaching different audiences just by putting your content out there in different places. Some people just don't listen to podcasts, and some people just read blog posts. Some people only
Yeah, this is something that's really been on my mind recently, actually, because I've had a few people saying to me, so I was asking in the run-up to my 200th podcast episode, I was asking on my social media networks, what do you want me to talk about on my 200th episode? And you know, what would you like to hear about? And it's really interesting because I had a few people who said, it's kind of on my resolution list that I need to listen to podcasts and I need to do this. It's on my list of things to do. And I said to a couple of people, if podcasts are on your list of things to do, almost like a chore, are podcasts the right thing for you? Because actually, you know, I love podcasts and I love learning. Like, I've always loved I've always loved radio, I've always loved listening and audiobooks and things. So podcasts seem like a really natural choice for me. But I'm very conscious sometimes, like in my Facebook group, people will ask a question and I'll share a podcast episode. And I have this all the time where I'm like, but what if this person isn't a podcast listener and this is a really great piece of content? I bet they'd love to have this written. I bet some people would love to have this written out. But obviously, you know, to go back to 200 episodes and do that would be quite tough. But again, I guess it comes back to, I could look at the ones that people ask about the most and the ones that I find myself sharing the most and look at how I might be able to do that. But people really are different. And sometimes I've had people say to me on Twitter and things like that, oh yes, that sounds very nice, your podcast episode, but I prefer video or I prefer to read it or whatever. And it's just so true, isn't it? People like to consume content in different ways.
Yeah, I think it's our brains are just wired differently, aren't we? Some people are just more like the video. Some people really do just like to read. And so, if you can touch all the senses with your content, then, yeah, you're onto a winner, aren't you? And then there's the whole rule of seven as well about having to see something seven times before you actually take action. So that's another big benefit of content repurposing, because if there's a really, you know, important concept that you're trying to get out there and somebody listened to your podcast and, you know, you made these really great points and then they saw some visuals about it and then they read about it and then there was this little video about it. It's just getting to that rule of seven, isn't it, where someone might take action, somebody might, you know, just that concept will suddenly land with them. So
Yeah. I found this all the time that I find myself saying that all the time. Like when we look at our stats for our email marketing, most people who buy a course with me or who do some training with me or come to an event or whatever it might be, buy a media diary, they've usually had at least 7 or 8 points of contact before they buy. So they've usually downloaded a few cheat sheets. Maybe they've been to some webinars. Maybe they've read some blog posts or whatever. But it's very rare that somebody would just see a Facebook ad or they would just read one blog post or whatever. People do need time to get to know you. And like you say, they need to keep hearing your name or seeing your business name or seeing your content. And that isn't just kind of like, it's just not a one-off thing, is it?
No, it's not. And I also think for people who are maybe just getting started with content as well, as you're, you know, repeating this, your messages, you're gaining authority and you're gaining a lot of credibility as well. So if somebody says something once, you know, they've said it once, they said it twice, and then they start to say it more times and they show that they can communicate in different ways, it just builds your credibility as well, doesn't it, and your authority, and you get known for what you want to get known for. Like, you know, everyone knows you, Janet, you're a PR expert in the world.
don't know about the world.
PR, Chris Ducker talks so much about virtual assistants that, you know, he got known for that. And he had loads of content amongst all these different platforms, you get known for that. And so I think, again, you know, the more you speak about something, the more you can convey something in different ways, touch different senses. The rule of seven, etc., just builds your credibility, your authority online as well.
And you just mentioned there, could you just talk a little bit about SlideShare, just in case people aren't familiar with it?
Yeah, so I think SlideShare is, you know, not a lot of people, I think of SlideShare. So SlideShare, like, you know, SlideShare presentations, LinkedIn owned, and you can create, you know, quite short presentation. So you could take a blog post and you could like break that down into 15 sentences, create 15 slides, and SlideShare, the research that I've done and through people I've spoken to who use SlideShare, they see on their Google Analytics quite a big boost of people coming from SlideShare. So I think it's quite like unknown to some people in this content world, but it's a really good SEO boost, and a lot of people do hang out there actually, that they do get content from SlideShare.
Yeah, I've had a few guests on who've talked about it and talked about how, and I've listened to other podcasts as well with people talking about how just maybe taking a blog post or taking a piece of content they've created, it could be a talk that they've given, and just turning it into a series of slides that look quite nice and quite attractive or whatever. And I've had huge engagement from that. And it's something that I certainly, it's on my list of things that I really want to engage with. Something else that strikes me actually. So I interviewed episode 115 a while ago. I interviewed Tony Brown. He calls himself like the systems guy. And it really strikes me that to do this well, you'd almost need to have really good systems in place. I mean, you kind of mentioned it before, it's like a sort of checklist. So like, you know, at the moment when I publish my podcast, I actually have, people might be surprised to hear this because I'm not the most organized person in the world, but I do have like almost standard operating procedures for Lucy, and we have a series of steps that we go through. So the recordings are filed in a certain place, as is the artwork, and then Lucy goes through a series of steps to publish it and to write the show notes, and that's all kind of planned out. And I guess for this to work, what you were kind of hinting at earlier was really, or you weren't even hinting at it, you were stating it, was that actually the more you've got this mapped out and like this is a series of steps that we walk through each time and we do it in the same way each time, the easier it gets and the quicker it gets.
Yeah, I think so. I think if you have that plan in place, then yeah, the easier to get it, quicker, and also the consistency, because as you said, you can add these things on to already existing processes. So if you're just kind of doing it a bit willy-nilly and, you know, not really having a process in place, I think that's when the consistency will fall down and it will just become more difficult to do as well.
Yeah. And one last question about this is about how often. So, I mean, I need to really take my own advice on this, but I would always say to people, it's better to create less content, but actually really, really market the hell out of that content and make sure it gets in as many places as possible than try to be blogging every day or podcasting every day or whatever. It sounds like it's more about quality, not quantity, like making each piece of content work as hard as it possibly can.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That is completely what my philosophy is, that there's so much posted online at the moment. You know, that shouldn't put people off posting, but the focus is definitely on quality. I remember when I first started online and I was joined this digital marketing training academy, and it was really outdated. It didn't take long to realize this, and they were telling us that you should blog every day. They said just do a blog post every day, but that was from the old times where Google was new, and if you were blogging every day then you were going to get found. But it's so completely the opposite now, so it's all about quality. I think that, you know, even if you do a blog post once every 2 weeks or once even every month, but then you turn that blog post into lots and lots of different pieces of content, that is definitely the strategy that I would recommend.
Sounds really, really sensible, and probably advice I need to take as well. I think I probably create so much content sometimes that it kind of runs away with me. So yeah, no, that's been absolutely fascinating. And as you're talking, like it's almost like hard for me to kind of keep asking you questions because my mind is just turning over with so many ideas and so many things that I could be repurposing, which is great. And a couple of other podcast episodes you might want to have a listen to. So episode 188, so how to repurpose your content and why you need to. So in that episode, I talk about how I repurposed lots of content for a sales launch, actually, and how I use the content in lots of different ways. And also, I think episode 187 with Daniel Knowlton, we talk a lot about repurposing on that particular episode. So thanks, Amy. You've shared so much value. Where can we find you if we want to know more about you?
Yeah, sure. So you can find me at content10x.com. And most of my social media handles, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, are just at content10x as well. So that is the best place that you can find me.
Thanks so much. You've shared so much. It's been brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you, Janet. It's been great to be on the show.
You've been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, why not come over and join my Facebook community? I've recently opened a Facebook group that's exclusively for podcast listeners, and you can find it at the Soulful PR Podcast Community. That's the Soulful PR Podcast Community, and I'd love to see you over there.
You've just been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, she'd really appreciate you leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more free content that will help you get media coverage for your business.